It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. I really appreciate it. We are discussing prescription drug legislation that's happening right now. As you know, the price increases that seniors are seeing are far beyond what many can afford. Thus, the choice they're making is between medication and food, fuel, gas. I'm sure you all know people who are making those choices. It's very sad. The average Medicare beneficiary has about $25,000 in annual income, and in Maine, it's about half that. So seniors are living on $1,000 to $1,200 a month. And I'm sure you all know seniors who have drug costs into the thousands. My guest today is Max Richmond, the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. He's been on before if you're a regular listener and always has great information. The committee is nonpartisan. It's membership-based, and it works to protect, preserve, promote, and ensure the financial security, the health, and the well-being of seniors. And I encourage every one of you that has a computer to log on to their website, www.ncpssm.org. It's $12 a year to join, and that is the best money you are ever going to spend. I don't usually promote organizations, but this is one of my favorites. I wrote my check. It's in the mail as we speak. You will get truth, fact-based information, and in these days, it's very difficult to separate truth from fiction. So I encourage you all, write the check, $12. You will be so glad you did. Max, thank you so much for being here today. The work you're doing is extraordinary, especially on this issue, because seniors are not taking their meds as they should because they can't afford it. So a hearty thank you on their behalf. There are positive outcomes, midterm elections, people who say, oh, my vote doesn't count. Boy, are they wrong. Votes count. Good news from the midterm elections. Let's talk about that and what's happening.
Well, thank you, first of all, for inviting me to be on your program. I always enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you.
During the midterm campaign, so many members, incumbents and challengers that ran for Congress had as one of their, if not the top priorities, the high cost of prescription drugs and some possible approaches to holding down those costs. And as you mentioned, seniors are especially susceptible to those prices and have a lot of trouble coming up with the funds to meet their basic needs, groceries, fuel, rent, and prescription drugs. And, you know, I think a lot of winning campaigns ran on the high cost of prescription drugs, and we are seeing in the Congress a lot of activity and a lot of different approaches, some of them I think better than others, that would address the high cost of drugs and make an effort to hold them down or roll them back.
There are three major bills in the pipeline right now. Is that correct?
Right. There are three different approaches. There are a number of different bills, but let me just run through them. One is titled the Prescription Drug Price Relief Act, and that would attempt to set the price of prescription drugs in our country, in the United States, based on the median price of that very same drug in a number of different countries, those being Canada, Britain, France, Germany, and Japan. That is one approach. I think it's pretty difficult to achieve that, but that is definitely one option. And the other approach would be to allow patients, pharmacists, wholesalers to import safe, affordable medicine from Canada, perhaps other countries, but they would have to go through the same rigorous testing and approval process as we'd have here in the United States. That is titled the Affordable and Safe Prescription Drug Importation Act. Now, the approach that we at the National Committee favor and have for some time would be the Medicare Drug Price Negotiation Act, which would mandate the Secretary of Health and Human Services to negotiate with the pharmaceutical prices of pharmaceutical companies to achieve the lowest price for prescription drugs that are under Medicare Part D. In 2003, there was a major change in addition in benefits to the Medicare program when the Congress passed what was called the Medicare Modernization Act that added a Part D to the Medicare program that would cover prescriptions. Now, we supported that, and it's been good in many respects, but the serious flaw in that law is it specifically prohibits the government from negotiating for the best price with the pharmaceutical companies. You know, when that deal was made and included in the law, I can tell you one thing, the Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, we were not in the room when that deal was made. We opposed that. We've been trying to get that overturned ever since 2003. But the pharmaceutical companies have a pretty strong hold on the government and have prevented that from happening. You know, it makes no sense. You have an entity representing over 40 million people that can't negotiate with manufacturers to deliver to Medicare patients the best price for prescription costs. And, you know, if this were accomplished, and I hope it will be in this Congress, it would save an enormous amount of money both to the federal government and to beneficiaries. It's going to take a lot of hard advocacy work to make that happen. But, you know, so many, as I said at the outset, so many candidates for Congress campaigned, made this issue of cost of prescription medicine a centerpiece of their campaigns, and we'll do everything we can to hold them accountable to their campaign promises, and hopefully the solution that we favor, the negotiations, will be enacted into law. Or some of these other proposals that would bring some relief to the high cost of prescription drugs.
The one that does make the most sense is the price negotiation, and it's so frustrating to know that some of the representatives have just sold their souls to Big Pharma, and that's what they care about, the pharmaceutical lobbies. And seniors are suffering over this every day. I just heard a story last week that a couple who's on the same medicine, one's taking it one day and one's taking it the next day because they can't afford both prescriptions. How sad is that?
Yeah, you know, I recently came across a statistic that the pharmaceutical industry raised the price of prescription drugs pretty regularly. And the figure that really caught my attention was 94% of the most often prescribed brand-name drugs doubled in price between 2005 and 2017. That would not have happened if the government had been able to negotiate a better deal for Medicare beneficiaries with the pharmaceutical companies. You know, if you have a large employer with thousands of people, but nothing like over 40 million, that employer would be involved in negotiating benefits for their employees, including prescription drugs. So the leverage that the government has is so obvious, and the reluctance, because of the law, to use that leverage is really unconscionable.
It really is. You have to wonder who's in charge. How do you think that will work? Are you getting any feelings that this has a really good shot? Is there anything that your members or seniors can do?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, all these pieces of legislation have been around for some time. But we see now that, especially with the House of Representatives being controlled by the Democrats, they're going to be launching investigations into the price of some pharmaceutical companies have been charging. I think there's going to be a lot of media attention on these high costs, and I think we're encouraging our members to attend town hall meetings and make sure that those who campaign for Congress will be faced with questions about, well, what are you going to do about this? You know, I failed to mention another proposal that I think is gaining a lot of traction, and that is the effort by the pharmaceutical companies that's been pretty successful over the last few decades of preventing generics from coming to market. And it's been accomplished by a lot of techniques that I think are appalling, where pharmaceutical companies will, in essence, pay the generic companies that can produce these drugs for a lower price from bringing them to market, postponing the approval for these generics, preventing them from the benefits from being realized by those that need these medicines. So, you know, there are obviously people in the pharmaceutical industry that are focused on profit and above all else. But I think that we are reaching out to representatives of the pharmaceutical industry, trying to at least develop a relationship where we can talk to them and see if we can get some support from some of these companies for any of the proposals that I have mentioned. And they're at least interested in talking to us. And I think they'll be doing the same with congressional committees as well over time.
When we come back, we will talk more about this. Again, log on to www.ncpssm.org to learn more. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back with Max Richmond. There's an 800 number, too, that you may want to call if you want more information if you are not online. 1-800-966-1935. 1-800-966-1935. You can call and get more information. And again, make your checkout for $12 to the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. You will be glad you did. So, Max, when we left, we were talking about the pay for delay deal. So pharmaceutical companies actually pay makers of generic drugs to delay rolling them out so that people can, there is a special place in hell for these people. So that,
yeah, it's a sad situation, to say the least, preventing people that need medicine to stay alive from being able to afford to buy those medicines. And effort to address this, as you aptly put it, pay to delay, is really bipartisan. There are members of the House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, who are appalled by this, and recognize that it's just not right. It's not fair to consumers, not just Medicare beneficiaries, but anybody who needs these prescription drugs. The profit motive with the prescription drug companies, the pharmaceutical industry, has gone way too far and has put the welfare and health of so many people at risk. You know, one of the arguments several arguments that are used by the pharmaceutical companies is they need to make all this money to be able to afford the research that goes into these groundbreaking drugs. What we often don't hear is that a lot of that expense is paid for by the federal government that subsidizes so much of this research. And why in the world are these drug companies spending so much money on advertising that could be used to reduce the price of prescription drugs? You know, I'm sure up in where you are in Maine, you can't watch television for more than a couple hours and without being bombarded by ads for prescription drugs.
Oh, it's true.
And, you know, frankly, I listen to those ads, and I hear all the disclaimers that they're required to make. And, you know, I wonder why would anyone try these drugs if they practically kill you sometimes, the disclaimers that they have to make.
It's true. The cure is worse than the disease.
But you know, that a lot of money is spent on that that could be used to lower prices. And the argument that we need to charge this much in order to do the research to develop and supply these drugs, I think falls flat when you look at some of the pay that executives are from the pharmaceutical, the outrageous salaries that are paid, the amount of money spent on advertising. Why not try to bring to market drugs that people can afford? These are not luxuries. People are not taking these drugs for their entertainment. They're taking them to stay alive.
It's not a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no one's saying that the drug companies shouldn't make money, but that is the epitome of double dipping. If the federal government is paying for the research to get the drugs, and then the pharmaceutical company charges outrageous money for the drugs and doesn't negotiate with Medicare to get lower prices, that is just wrong all over the place.
Yeah, I you know, and I do think there are more members of Congress who are coming to that realization that despite the lobbying that the pharmaceutical companies does and the enormous campaign contributions made by the pharmaceutical industry, that it's just gone too far. And I do think you're going to see a lot of discussion as we get into the next. You know, there's always a congressional campaign around the corner, and of course the presidential race around the corner as well. And we have written a letter to the president dealing with the State of the Union address, and we just sent the letter the other day and put out a statement urging the president to talk about this in his State of the Union address, because we know seniors and others, of course, have been struggling with the high cost of prescription drugs, and we've asked the president to provide some reassurance from the White House that the president is on the side of the people. And we're urging the president in his State of the Union speech to do just that. In the letter that we sent a couple days ago, we implored President Trump to go back and look at his campaign promises to defend Medicare and bring down the cost of prescription drugs. This is the third State of the Union that President Trump has delivered. The first two did not even mention Medicare, despite the pledges during the campaign to protect Medicare from cuts and to take on the big pharmaceutical industry. He talked about that quite a bit, if you remember, during the campaigns. And meanwhile, we haven't seen any, what we feel, concrete action, which would require government to negotiate for the best price. He's got a golden opportunity.
We're going to hold on, Max, 1 second. I got to cut you off just 1 second. We've got to go to break. We're a little late. We will be right back right after this.
Okay.
Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. We're going to switch gears a little bit. Max, let's talk about some changes that are happening in this last segment in Social Security.
Well, we have seen just last week some groundbreaking legislation introduced in the House and will be introduced in the Senate as well, that would address the long-term solvency of Social Security. A bill was introduced last Wednesday I spoke at the press conference in the U.S. Capitol, and this bill, it's called, it's H.R. 860. There's no Senate number yet, but it's the called the Social Security 2100 Act. It would bring more revenue into the program in what I think is a fair way, so that the minimum benefit could be increased slightly, the COLA could be more accurate and generous, and the solvency of the program, which is now pegged at 2034 when full payments, benefit payments would not be possible, would be extended to the rest of this century. So all of this is accomplished by addressing the cap on wages subject to the payroll tax. Right now, if you make $132,900 a year in wages, you pay payroll tax on your wages. Everything above that is free of FICA tax. Why? Why is that the case? You know, we would support eliminating that cap altogether, but politically it's more feasible to take the approach that Congressman John Larson, the chief sponsor, has advocated with 204 co-sponsors as of a few days ago, and that would keep the cap at its current level. It goes up a little bit every year, but commence payroll tax again at $400,000 in wages and up. This would bring in enough revenue to accomplish what I just talked about, increasing the minimum benefit at more accurate and fairer COLA, extending the life of the program for the rest of this century. And those people, by the way, that would have to pay more, making over $400,000 a year in wages, they would get an increase in benefits as well. This would affect 0.4% of wage earners. It would bring the program into financial solvency for the next 81 years. In addition to the payroll tax cap, the FICA tax would be increased on those who pay it now by 1.2%, phased in over 23 years. That means that most people would have see an increase in their payroll tax by about 50 cents a week to keep the system solvent for the rest of this century. It seems like a pretty good deal to me, and I think it would be characterized that way by most people in this country.
It is a very good deal. It'd be nice if the cap, as you said, was gone altogether, but at least this is the first step to making that happen. And I want to say again, we're just about out of time. The work that you do is helping all of us, the millions and millions of seniors. So thank you for that. The number to call, 1-800-966-1935, 1-800-966-1935, to talk to someone at the National Committee. Log on to www.ncpssm.org to find out more information. Max, thank you so much for being here. You're the best. I appreciate
it. Well, thank you. My pleasure.
That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.